on the occasion of the 18th anniversary of the signing of the Geneva Accord. And once again, I'm addressing myself to the U.S. men who have been sent here to fight, as well as to myself, because I think that we have to remind ourselves a little bit about the history of the U.S. involvement in the war. It's something that's been kept from us. And it's really important that we understand what our history here has been. During the French Indochina War, during the time when Roosevelt was President of the United States, he, Roosevelt, hadn't made up his mind what the approach of the United States was going to be to the French involvement in Indochina. But after Roosevelt came Harry Truman, and Truman decided that he was going to take the side of the French, support the French against the Vietnamese people. And Eisenhower, who became president after Truman, followed a policy that Truman had already started. Only he went a little bit further, and by 1953, under the Eisenhower administration, the United States was financing 85% of the French war against the Vietnamese people. Think of what that means in terms of the taxes that our parents were paying in the United States, quite unbeknownst to them. The taxes that our parents were having to pay in order to finance, to buy weapons for the French, to kill the Vietnamese people. In 1954, the Liberation Forces of Vietnam defeated the French colonial army at Dien Bien Phu in a historical battle. Following this victory, there was the Geneva Conference, and the Accords were drawn up, the Geneva Accords. The two principal points of the Accords called for a temporary division of Vietnam into two military regroupment zones, separating Vietnam temporarily into a northern part and a southern part. After the Geneva Accord, that is to say in 1956, there was to be general election. There was to be a general election held in which the people of Vietnam from the north and the south would elect their president and reunify their country. However, in 1956, Eisenhower noted publicly that if the elections were held, Ho Chi Minh would have been elected president of Vietnam by 80% of the vote, by 80% of the people in Vietnam. And this was something that the United States didn't want. And so, a man by the name of Lo Jin Jin was installed as the president of South Vietnam. Now, this act, which has been very thoroughly documented in the Pentagon Papers, and I think we should all read those papers, at least the condensed version of them, very attentively. It clearly shows that this was an act caused by the United States. A quote from the Pentagon Papers says, South Vietnam is essentially the creation of the United States. Now that's a very important thing to keep in mind. When our government tells us that there is an invasion from the north, we must remember that there wouldn't be a North if it were not for the fact that the U.S. government had violated the Geneva Accords. That Vietnam is in fact one country with one language, with one history of struggle, with one culture. There are no words in the Vietnamese language for the North Vietnam or South Vietnam, in fact. President Kennedy once again violated the Geneva Accords when he set up the Military Assistance Advisory Group, or better known as MAG, which supplied the Diem regime in Saigon with arms and military advisors. One of the stipulations in the Geneva Accord was that there were to be no military personnel or arms sent into Vietnam. There came a time in the beginning of the 60s when it became very apparent that the people of Vietnam hated the Jem regime. The Buddhists began to uprise. At that time, it became impossible to hide the fact that Jem was in fact installed by the United States, but he did not represent the people of Vietnam, no more than Chi does today, and it became necessary to replace him. And once again, if we turn to the Pentagon Papers, that is to say the documents that come from the United States government, written by our leaders at that time, we see that there was a military coup with CIA complicity which removed Jem from office. And then we come to President Johnson. And once again, we have to turn to the Pentagon Papers. And it's very interesting when you read about the so-called Tonkin Gulf incident, you will find that it is a slight fabrication. This incident, which was used to justify our bombing of the Democratic Republic of North Vietnam, this was the point, of course, at which the United States sent the U.S. forces openly and in unit strength to Vietnam. Now, as Americans, we should appreciate and understand the struggle that the Vietnamese people are fighting, because we live in a country, we come from a country, which has fought a war of independence. And we shed much blood, and there was much sorrow over the losses from our war our revolution, the American Revolution, which we fought against the British. And we won, despite the fact that our soldiers were less professional, had less weapons. We won because we knew why we were fighting, because we were fighting for freedom and independence. And in that kind of a fight, there can be no compromise. Now, that is what the Vietnamese are fighting. They're fighting for freedom. That is all they're asking for. So if an invasion taking place, it's taking place from the 7th Fleet, from the aircraft carriers, from Thailand, from Guam, but essentially from the Pentagon and from the White House. You men, it is not your fault. It is in fact tragic to think how you are being so cynically used, because the time is coming very soon. It is already halfway there, when people are admitting openly that this is one of the most horrible crimes ever committed by one nation against another. Maybe at the time when Russia was the big monster, that was the excuse that was used there in the United States to build up, during the Cold War, to build up our military strength and develop nuclear weapons and terrible arsenal of death. But what is the situation today? Today we have businessmen from the United States going to Russia and doing business. We have our government leaders going to Russia. We have a peaceful coalition, coexistence with Russia. Whereas China became the big threat. China was going to suddenly come across the Pacific Ocean and attack us. And what is the situation today? We have diplomats going to China. We have trade going on with China. Every day in the United States, there are articles talking about the beneficial effects of the Cultural Revolution in China. In all of the papers of the United States, how the peasants are living better, how famine has been wiped out, how illiteracy and prostitution has been wiped out. And now it's Vietnam, this tiny little country. But you see what's happening in the United States is that even the men who at one time were planning and fighting the war are admitting openly to the American public that this is a crime. Former Secretary of Defense under the Johnson administration, Clark Clifford, just the other day in the United States, condemned the war in Vietnam. The former negotiator in Paris, Abel Harriman, recently admitted in an interview with the Washington Post that Nixon is sabotaging the Paris peace talks, that a solution to the war does exist which will bring all of you home and release the prisoners of war. The solution is the 7-point solution for peace put forward by the Provisional Revolutionary Government in Paris. Now, I'm saying this because I think it would be very sad for any of you to be killed for a year that very soon even the diehards in America are going to have to admit is true criminals. I think it would be very sad to go on killing innocent civilians, women, old people, and children. For a war that is being criticized all around the world.
That was Jeanne Fonda speaking to GIs in South Vietnam. More messages of her will come to you soon.